Labors of Love. An informative look at modern-day evangelization, featuring the ministries and work of the Catholic Church in South Texas. Stay with us and learn of the Church's many services and benefits with your host, Margaret Alleria, Director of Evangelization and Catechesis for the Diocese of Corpus Christi, as she explores the Catholic faith with her many guests and their labors of love.
Hello once again and welcome to Labors of Love, where we bring the labors of love from the Diocese of Corpus Christi straight to you. I'm your host, Margaret Alleria, and I'm here with my guest, Mary Christmas. And yes, that is her name, Mary Christmas, who is the Diocesan RCIA Liaison for the Diocese of Corpus Christi. How are you, Mary?
I'm fine. Thank you, Margaret.
Mary, before we get started, I must say that in the over 2 years that I've been here, it's been a great pleasure to work with you, and I'm very happy to know you. You are very professional and sweet all at the same time.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Before we get started, I'd like the audience or the listeners to get to know you a bit better. Can you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Well, obviously, I'm Mary Christmas. I was a Mary long before I was a Christmas, so it's a nice combination. Not sure what to tell you, but I am a wife. I'm a mother. I have two sons. I have a grandson and another on the way. I'm recently retired school teacher from CCISD. 41 years of a very happy career.
Wow.
Teaching and working with kids. I have been a member of the Corpus Christi Cathedral since we were married in 1975, and have been involved in various ministries there. I like water aerobics and exercise and walking and talking and really like working with people.
Well, I can tell that you really love life, and actually that's a great way to introduce yourself to the listeners out there, so thank you so much for sharing. Let's go ahead and talk about the RCIA process then. What does it stand for?
Well, the RCIA stands for the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults.
Okay. And how did you get involved with RCIA?
Well, you know, I was a catechist at the Corpus Christi Cathedral about the time that we began that process under Monsignor Richard Shirley. And so about 1980, the cathedral was actually one of the first parishes, I think, to begin this process. And I was invited to be a sponsor. And I had no idea what I was getting into. But it was such a wonderful fit. You know, a sponsor gets to work very closely with and become friends with somebody who is interested in the Catholic Church. It's an opportunity to share faith, to show them what you believe, to be able to talk about your faith. You know, we adults don't always have enough opportunities to talk to other adults about what we believe and why we believe. And it was a big challenge because the people that I would sponsor would ask questions. And I would have to stop and think. And sometimes I'd have to say, let me think about that, and I'll get back with you. Because I didn't know why we do everything in the Catholic Church. And so it was a real challenge for me. And I found that I grew, not in my faith, I grew in my social skills. I certainly enlarged my acquaintances and friends. I was able to use the teaching skills. So after a couple years of being a sponsor, I was invited to be a catechist. And I thoroughly enjoyed that. And you know, I also lecture and read, and so pulling those readings into the catechesis was so much fun. And later I became coordinator of the cathedral for several years and worked with the program and pulled all those pieces together. You know, I found that I grew, and it was such a wonderful fit.
So let's go ahead and see what the RCIA process is all about. Who can participate in the RCIA process? You shared a bit about being a sponsor. What do I need to be baptized? Do I need to have my confirmation to be a part of it? What exactly, what state do I need to be in to be a part of this process?
Well, I'm assuming you're talking about the evangelization process, giving end as opposed to, say, the receiving end. But, you know, initiation is the responsibility of all the baptized. That is a very important foundational piece. So everybody in the parish community has something to offer, even if it's only joining in the prayers during the rites or when the catechumens are dismissed. socializing, getting to know them. So at the very beginning levels, everyone can make them feel welcome. That is our big role. And the faith sharing, you know, why are we here? What do we believe? Every opportunity we have to have a discussion about faith enlightens the other person and also helps us grow. Now, to be formally involved in that process, say as a team member or a sponsor, yes, the expectation would be that a sponsor, a godparent, would be a fully initiated Catholic, someone living as a Catholic, a communicating Catholic, somebody in good graces mm-hmm. of the Catholic Church. If married, you would be married in the Catholic Church. You would be living a graced life, nothing that would cause a scandal or any kind of an offense. But it is such a wonderful gift to be a sponsor. When you're a stranger coming into a strange community, to have somebody by your side, somebody who walks with you, someone who talks to you, someone who introduces you to other members of the community, who takes you to their favorite devotions, who attends Mass with you, who shares favorite prayers or readings or books, is such a wonderful gift. And then after the person comes in and is fully initiated and has received their sacraments, baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist, then you have a friend for life.
It sounds so exciting to be a sponsor. I'm just getting enamored listening to you.
I loved it.
Now, let me ask you then, who would be on the receiving end of that? Who can be involved in the RCIA process? Obviously, it's a rite of Christian initiation for adults. So is this for some, and I'm playing, on a Christian radio show, I'm playing devil's advocate.
Sure.
So let's say, do I need to be baptized? Do I need to have my first Eucharist? Is this for someone who has no idea what the church is about, but they want to get more familiar with the church?
Well, let's just kind of start with rite of initiation. Initiation refers to the sacraments of baptism, confirmation, and Eucharist, which brings Christ in you to full stature, to full stature. And so the rite is intended and initially was written for the unbaptized.
Okay.
For those who are unbaptized. And so the basic rite, with all of its steps, with inquiry, rite of acceptance, election, sacraments at Easter, was originally intended for those who are not baptized. As a practical matter, though, we have other people who need to be included. For example, we have many baptized Catholics and many who are baptized in other Christian communities by our Christian brothers and sisters who have not been raised in any faith, who are baptized, but they have no experience of being in a church, no experience of regular worship, of being involved and associated with a believing, faith-filled community. They have no roots anywhere. And so the process, the bishops of the United States rewrote, added some pieces to that rite to include those who were baptized but uncatechized so that they would have ample time to go through a process which would encourage them and allow them to put down roots, to become home, to find a spiritual home, to be comfortable with the community, to know people, to be able to pray with people, to be able to share sorrows and joys with a believing community. And that takes time. And so for those who are not baptized and for those who are baptized, but as we say, uncatechized, who are do not have much experience with a believing community, the process is intended to take at least one full year. A long time, long enough for them to put down roots and feel comfortable so that when they do receive their sacraments, when they are fully initiated, they will stay because they're so comfortable, they are so welcome, they so belong, they wouldn't even consider leaving.
So this is not an overnight process.
This is not an overnight process. It's not for 4 months and you're in, by golly. Now, there are people for whom that process can be adapted further. For example, if we have baptized non-Catholics who are fully churched, who grew up with Bible and Scripture, then the bishops have said, you know, they don't need a year-long process. They simply need to have questions answered. Those things that are different in the Catholic Church, they may need some explanation of Mary and the saints. They may need to understand reconciliation. They may need to understand how we understand the Eucharist. They may need to have some understanding of papal authority, those pieces that are not usually present in our non-Catholic brothers and sisters. And once they're there, once they're comfortable, then we just bring them in at any Sunday Eucharist. They're not necessarily Easter pieces. Let's just bring them in.
Mm-hmm. Now, can you explain this? Faith formation is a lifelong process. It's a lifelong learning process. I just mentioned that the RCIA process is not an overnight function, unless there are some that have been a part of the Catholic faith and they just perhaps need to receive the sacrament of confirmation. They've been going to church every weekend. But what does it mean that faith formation is a lifelong process?
Well, I think I'm probably a perfect example of that. I'm actually a cradle Catholic. You know, I went to Catholic schools, Catholic grade school, Catholic high school, Catholic college. You know, I began as a pre-Vatican II Catholic with Latin Mass and Latin prayers, moved into high school, post-Vatican II, Mass in English, facing the people, singing Kumbaya. You know, as a youngster, I memorized the Baltimore Catechism. But what happens to us is that we learn all of these pieces, but it takes life to form us so that we can interpret what does that mean for me at this stage in my life in this piece. You know, so I have spent my entire life, I think, since graduating from college, trying to figure out where the pieces go. And every time something happens in your life, whether it's something joyful or something awful or something sorrowful, I have to confront my faith again. I have to reinterpret it. I have to go back and try to understand, what does this mean for me? How does this fit with what I believe? Who is this God that I believe in? And reinterpret the whole thing. And because the church is constantly growing and changing, again, from post-Vatican II to Vatican II, we've changed liturgy. We've changed not our beliefs, but sometimes the way we express those beliefs.
Mary, that's wonderfully said. In a nutshell, faith formation is a lifelong process. And obviously, you're open to learning more and getting more answers. Listeners, stay with us on Labors of Love. We're going to come back and talk about the process of RCIA.
This is Labors of Love.
In celebration of Catholic Schools Week, Blessed John Paul II High School invites you to their open house on Wednesday, February 5th at 6 p.m. All prospective students and parents should take this opportunity to visit Blessed John Paul II High School. Tour the campus, pick up a registration packet, meet the faculty and other parents and current students, have your questions answered, enjoy refreshments and door prizes, and in short, find out what Blessed John Paul II High School is all about. To learn more, call 855-5744 and visit jpiihighschool.org and plan now to visit the school at 3036 Saratoga Boulevard on Wednesday, February 5th. It's all there for you to see.
Thank you for being with us on Labors of Love. I'm here with my guest, Mary Christmas, who is the Diocesan RCIA Coordinator, and we've had a great discussion on what RCIA is. And I'm actually getting quite excited having you here with me, and I'm sure the listeners are too. Let's go ahead and talk then about the RCIA process. Can you take us from beginning to end and just briefly describe what it means to be a part of the Rite of Christian Initiation for adults?
Well, all right. Well, the first stage for everyone actually is inquiry. You know, this is kind of a getting to know you stage. We get to know them. They get to know us. It is a time where those who are coming to us because they're interested in becoming Catholic and being baptized, completing their sacraments, whatever it is, this is their opportunity for them to set the agenda, to get their questions answered, to confront their fears, their difficulties. It gives us a chance to find out, why are they here? Everybody who comes to us, there's a reason why in this point of time they need God, or they need church, or they need the support of a believing community. So we're sorting fish at that point, deciding who needs the entire process, who is basically catechized and just has a few questions, who really can go through the bishop's December confirmation. They really don't need a whole process. And so that inquiry stage is for us to kind of sort, for them to get to know us, and whether or not they feel comfortable enough to move on. for those who need the full process and who are comfortable and are ready to kind of move on, yep, this is where I want to be. I love this parish. I like the people. I think I'm going to like being here. Then we move on with the first step, which is that rite of acceptance.
So in the inquiry, I'm not committed.
Inquiry, you're not committed. You're asking questions. Okay. You are confronting your own demons or whatever it is that's bothering you. In some cases, people choose not to go on. They get their questions answered, and it's okay.
All right.
They're comfortable where they are.
All right, and what do we have next?
Well, the first official step is that rite of acceptance. For those who are not baptized, we have a rite that goes with it called rite of welcoming for those who are baptized, because it's very important to recognize those who are baptized. They have a status within the church. Those who are not baptized are officially outside the church. The rite of acceptance is crossing that threshold, coming from no man's land into God's land. And once they cross that threshold, they are officially part of the Catholic Church. They are Catholic, even though they're not initiated as yet, which is why it is important to be ready for that first step. And so anyone who's not baptized and goes through that first step, that rite of acceptance, becomes officially a catechumen with status in the church. They can be married as catechumens. If something, God forbid, were to happen to them and they were to die, they would be buried as Catholics. We would not worry about what happened to them because they have already expressed a desire to be baptized. And so that baptism of desire, we would consider them to be baptized Christians in terms of Catholic Christian burial. That process, now, this process, the stage that follows that, which is the catechumenate, is the longest stage in the process. You know, the bishops ask us to extend that at least a year or more, preferably beginning from Lent of 1 year all the way through Lent and Easter, coming through summer, around the fall, coming in through Lent again, and then receiving the sacraments at that next Easter vigil, if they are so ready, or going around again. The idea being that those who seek baptism are always baptized at the Easter vigil, unless in danger of death or some great emergency, in which case there are no rules, we just baptize them. But for those who are already baptized, but not catechized, it would take at least a year to understand how the church moves through that cycle of feast and readings and ordinary time and Advent and Lent to get a feel of how we live the liturgical year. And if we shorten that to just a couple of months, they've missed out on that experience.
And it's such a beautiful experience, Mary. I'd like for you to share with the audience. In our fast-paced world, we want to go in and we want to go out. I mean, we have these fast food restaurants. We have online degrees. We finish in such a short time. We want everything here and now. But with our Catholic faith, and as we mentioned earlier, this is a lifelong process, there needs to be that true desire to make that commitment. And as you mentioned, it might not even be 1 year. If you still have questions, if you still need to understand further, it might be even more than that.
You know, formation it takes a long time, particularly if you are not churched, you would have no experience of church, you're not used to going to Sunday services or Sunday Mass on a regular basis. You know, that is really a life-changing kind of event. All at once, you're getting up, you're making a commitment, and it isn't just going to Mass that during this catechumenate period, we are hoping and expecting that people would join the community, joining community celebrations, community benefits, be present at different devotions and various activities so that they become a true member of the community. And I think it's important to talk about that catechumenate phase as not being in isolation, not in the classroom. I think we tend to equate our CIA with religious education, with classrooms. And it really is not. A very small part, yes, of catechesis takes place in perhaps a group setting with sponsors and other catechumens. But in effect, they are actually evangelized. They learn through the eyes and expression of the believing community, through the liturgies of the church, through the readings of the scriptures. And so during that catechumenate period, you would expect them to be dismissed from Sunday Mass, to feast on the word in a separate area, because they're not ready for the Eucharist. And of course, it's a wonderful reminder to us who are still in the pews that we don't have to leave. that we can stay, that we can communicate, literally. There are special blessings and exorcisms and anointings that liturgically and prayerfully help them to grow and experience God's grace in their lives. And so God's grace, it does its own thing. It does not work in all of us equally in the same amount of time. The Spirit moves us. We don't all come at the same time. So it is very important that we give the Spirit time to move and that we recognize the Spirit's action in people and don't push them before they're ready.
Beautifully said. I really appreciate you mentioning that this process, it takes time. It takes time to know about our God. I mean, he's the most magnificent thing in our lives, and we're not going to get all the answers, and he's still going to be mysterious to us. But just you sitting here is expressing the joy, and I see it in your face of being a Catholic and being a Christian, and it takes time, and that's okay.
I spent my whole life, and I'm still working on it.
And you're still learning. So what's next after the catechumenate?
Well, when they're ready. And the next step would be the rite of election, which is celebrated with the bishop at the cathedral, in which all the catechumens and also those who are baptized but not catechized, who are expecting to receive sacraments at the Easter Vigil, join in the bishop. Bishop, basically, the catechumens, he affirms their call. He acknowledges that they are here because God has called them. He respects and honors them for responding to that call. And with that, he declares them to be God's elect. So they cease to be catechumens. They are now the elect, and that they will be receiving sacraments at this next Easter Vigil. And for those who are baptized and who are just now coming to faith, we don't call that rite of election, even though it's kind of celebrated side by side. We call that a call to continuing conversion. It recognizes that they've already been introduced to God in their life. Someone had them baptized at an earlier point. And this is where they're called to reclaim and live out their baptism. And they're going to do that through the sacramental life of the Catholic Church.
And Mary, what are the final steps in this process?
Well, the official final step would be the reception of sacraments, baptism, confirmation, Eucharist at the Easter Vigil. But we're really making a big mistake if we consider that the end. That is only the beginning.
See you later.
That is only the beginning, because it's only when you're fully initiated that you can begin to live fully. Christ brought to full stature, live fully, live out your faith within the Christian community. And so for that first, there's an immediate period called mystagogia, immediately after receiving those sacraments, in which those who are receiving communion, who are celebrating, who are staying for the whole Mass with the people who are receiving the Eucharist, celebrating the sacraments, come together and talk about what that means. What does that mean to them personally? What does that mean within the community? How does one live that out? And that usually lasts till about Pentecost. And then the church says, hey, don't let them go, that the next year they are neophytes, which means that we need to bring them together on a regular basis. We need to reinforce. We need to affirm their being with us, encourage them. If they're, you know, this big high of the Easter Vigil can be kind of a letdown later. And so it's very, very important that we keep in contact with these people, that we bring them together, and we let them know how important they are to us.
Mary, again, it's a pleasure to be in ministry with you, and I look forward to many continued years of work in ministry. Thank you again for being with us. Sacred Moments, Deacon Nolte, up next.
This is Labors of Love, the ministries and evangelization of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. If you have questions or perhaps a comment about today's program, why not send us email? Address your email to labors@klux.org or by U.S. mail, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78407. And now, with this week's Sacred Moment, here is Deacon Stephen Nolte.
Some people, such as travelers and the elderly, are able to fall asleep anywhere and at any time, in an airplane or a crowded terminal, at a movie, or in the midst of a noisy family reunion. Small children stop playing and fall asleep in the middle of the floor, or even in a basket full of toys and dolls. Sometimes they even go to sleep while eating, staying upright in their chair with their head on the table. For others, finding sleep is more difficult. Many of us work long hours trying to make ends meet. Sometimes we go through events in life that demand more of us, such as caring for a sick family member or helping a friend or loved one who is going through a hard time. There are also people who fill their lives with activities in order to be accepted by others. Sleep for these people comes only when exhaustion sets in, and when they awaken, they are often startled and worried about things forgotten or yet undone. Sleep is a necessary part of human life. It is as necessary for our mental and emotional health as food and water are for the body. Without any one of these, a person's health will decline, sometimes to the point of death. Jesus says to us, "Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves, for my yoke is easy and my burden light." How often have we heard these words of Jesus and yet not really heard them? Most of us, if asked, only remember, "Come to me and I will give you rest." Some might remember, if prodded, the part about labor or being burdened, while yet others may mention the yoke. But how many of us hear and reflect upon the words that may be the most important part of what Jesus says? Often overlooked in the midst of the message, Jesus says, "For I am meek and humble of heart." We need to ask ourselves what, if anything, this has to do with work or burdens, with finding rest or carrying a yoke. Yet Jesus says it, and if we listen to it, we will understand that he is trying to tell us how to find and receive the rest he is offering. To be meek means to be gentle and kind, docile and obedient, or easily trained. Being humble requires us to be submissive, unpretending, and modest in behavior. Together, these two words define Jesus' response to God the Father. He didn't put on pretenses, filling his life with activities to please others. He didn't worry about the task he was given. He simply went about doing it, being guided through prayer to that which was required. How much better could life be if we learned to trust in God's providence, to be meek and humble? How much more at rest would we be if we didn't worry so much about the burdens we carry, but rather we simply carried them? True rest occurs every time we lay our head down at night and trust that God is watching over us. It occurs when we finally, at the end of the day, let go of our control and in obedience trust His. May God bless you with the graces necessary to slow down and entrust yourself to His work. Nothing else is really necessary. Amen.
Thank you for joining us on Labors of Love. I'd like to thank my guest, Mary Christmas, Diocesan RCIA Coordinator and Liaison, for being with us today to explain the process of RCIA, the Rite of Christian Initiation for Adults. If you would like more information about the RCIA process, please call Mary at 361-739-2415. Thanks again for being with us on Labors of Love.
You've been listening to Labors of Love with Margaret Alleria. Online MP3s of this program are available on the CCN server. Browse to podcasts.goccn.net. Scroll down and select the Labors of Love category. Be with us next week at this same time for another edition of Labors of Love. Labors of Love is a production of the Department of Evangelization, Diocese of Corpus Christi, and CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.